All right, everybody there, if you found it, say amen. Amen. All right. Back in chapter number 1, verse number 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou shew me iniquity and cause me to uphold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore is the law slacked. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful, their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be scorned unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Art not thou from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of pure eyes to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all them with the angle, they catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag, therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice under their net and burn incense under their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you, my heavenly Father, for this day. And God, I ask that you just help us now, Lord, as we come to the time of the preaching of thy word, Lord. I ask that you just help me to stand. Father, I know that without you, I can do nothing. And dear Lord, I ask that you just do a work in the hearts of your people tonight, Lord. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you take the truths of your word, Lord, and God, that you just accomplish the work in each and every heart tonight, Lord. And God, we just want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy upon each and one of our lives, Lord. And God, we just ask that your will be done here tonight, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, here's what we're looking at. Habakkuk was a prophet that was, he is right before the Babylonians come for their first invasion. Jeremiah was also a prophet during this time, and they're both prophesying that the Chaldeans or the Babylonians are coming, and they're going to destroy Judah. And so, we see in verse number 1 that Habakkuk is a man, and he has a heavy burden. We see the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. This is something that God has opened his eyes to, that he is witnessing taking place. It's not something he's heard, it's something firsthand he's seeing what's going on in the nation. He's looking at Judah and all he sees is wickedness. They're a sinful nation. We see the word iniquity, grievance in verse 3, the spoiling or the unjust gains, violence, strife, contention, all the words that he used to describe what he's seeing. And it troubles him over their sinfulness. They're a lawless nation. Look at verse 4. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. The Word of God is not being honored. They're living lives apart from the Word of God. And so they're a sinful nation. Excuse me. They're a lawless nation. But then I want you to notice also in verse 4 it says this. The wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. The wicked are getting their way. They're compassing the righteous. This is not a small little remnant that's stirring up problems. This is the majority of the people. They're just compassing. They're stifling down the righteous. If I could say it this way, they're winning, if I could just say it that way. That's where he's at. That's what he's looking upon. He is looking at the wickedness of his people, how they've turned from God. And let me say this, their problems Judah's problems was a result of leadership that turned from the Word of God. Anytime you turn from the Word of God, that is the direction you're headed. Whether it be in my home, whether it be this church, whether it be the nation, you turn from the Word of God, this is the direction you're headed in. It's a downward spiral. But notice what Habakkuk says in verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Here's where Habakkuk is burdened over what's taking place in Judah, and he's crying out to God to do something. He's wanting God to move toward, bring revival, restore the, just to do something. But here's what he's saying. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? It doesn't appear that God's doing anything. He's complaining, God, you have shown me all this iniquity, all this wickedness, everything that's taken place. And God, I'm praying and I'm begging you to move, but you're not doing anything about it. That's the burden. That's where he's at. He's not seeing God move. It appears to Habakkuk that God is not dealing with sin. But then I want you to notice God is going to respond in verse number 5. He says, behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. God responds to Habakkuk and he says, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to do a work in your days. And when you hear what I'm going to do, you're not even going to believe it. Nobody's going to believe when they hear what's fixing to take place. And they didn't, because here's what God told them in verse 6. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. He tells Habakkuk, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, that is the Babylonians. I'm going to raise up this nation, they're going to march through the land, and they're going to take Judah captive. That's what's going to happen. And it's such a marvelous thing. He says, you're not going to believe me when I tell you. And they didn't. What does Jeremiah prophesy about? The same thing, that judgment's coming, and they didn't believe. But God's going to raise up this nation, and that's how he's going to deal with his people. This is not the answer Habakkuk was looking for. I mean, he's wanting revival. He's wanting to see God move and do something and restore them, not send them into captivity. God's basically saying, if Judah wants to act like a godless nation, I'll let him see how a godless nation acts. I'll bring him right there to him. And so they're going into captivity, and God starts telling Habakkuk how terrible and dreadful the Babylonians are. Verse 7, we see their pride. It says their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. They're powerful. He talks about their horses, how they're more fierce than the evening wolves, that they're going to come for violence. They're going to gather the captivity as the sand. They're taking everybody with them. They're going to scoff at kings. They're going to give glory unto their God. He's all the wickedness that Babylon is, that's what God's telling Habakkuk. Hey, this nation that I'm raising up, this is how wicked they are. They're powerful. They're a violent people, and I'm sending them to Judah. And they're going to bring judgment upon my people. Habakkuk's troubled over this. He is struggling with what God has just told him. Now, I want you to notice this, and we're getting to where we're headed. Look at verse 13. Thou art of pure eyes, and to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he is? Here's what Habakkuk is saying. God, you are holy, and you can't behold evil. Why are you going to let a nation that's more wicked than what we are come in and destroy us? Judah's not what they need to be by any means, but you're going to let somebody as wicked as the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, come in and take us captive? God, you're holy and you're just. Why are you not dealing with the Chaldeans? Why are you raising them up to destroy us? I mean, we're your chosen people. We're wrong, we're not doing right, but we're still more righteous than they are. Why are you letting this happen? How could God use something, a nation so vile, to come upon and attack his people? And in the remainder of chapter 1, Habakkuk is complaining to God about just how about how Babylon is. He's not upset over the fact that God's punishing the people. He's troubled over the fact that God's going to use the Babylonians to do it. And he uses, we finished the chapter 1 with the illustration he's using of a fisherman. Men just as a fish, they're powerless against them. They have no strength. There's nothing they can do against the Babylonians when they come and spread their net. Just how the fisherman rejoices when he brings his net in with fish, that's how the Babylonians are going to do. They rejoice in the fact that they're destroying lives, that they're conquering land. And then verse 17, he says this, shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? God, this is a nation that's so weak, if you don't withhold them, they're going to just wipe everybody out. Habakkuk's troubled. He's troubled over what God has just told him. And he don't understand it. He cannot reconcile his belief in a holy and just God is going to allow someone as wicked as the Babylonians come in and take Judah captive. Here's basically what he's asking. Why is God not dealing with Babylon? Why is Babylon, they're prospering in their sin, and we're going to be judged for ours, and we're your people? Here's the point I want you to take from this. Habakkuk is searching for answers. His faith has been rattled a little bit. He don't understand. He cannot make sense of what God is doing. And here's the thing. A lot of times in life, we can't make sense of what God's doing. And we try to rationalize things out. Just that's the nature of the flesh. And you can't. Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? I have seen men that want nothing to do with God, and they're prospering. I mean, they're wealthy, they have need of nothing. And I've seen men that are trying to serve God and have to work two jobs to put food on the table. Why? Why can two people get sick and one of them is healed of cancer and then the other one passes away? All the things that we do with all, just, there are so many things in life that we just don't have answers to. Why does a drunk driver hit some innocent person and they die and he walks away from it? And you can just ask your own questions. There are things that we encounter in life, and here's what does, it rattles us somehow because we can't make sense of it. And that's where Habakkuk is at. And I find myself in those situations many times. Just not being critical, but just trying to understand what God might be doing. How someone can die and you see the whole family just fall apart. And you wonder, God, why? God, what was the point of that? What's going on? It troubles me sometimes. I get just like Habakkuk. Let me say it that way. God's moving, God's working, but he's not doing things the way I think they should be done. And I'm looking at what he's doing and I'm just wondering, why, Lord? It don't make sense to me. Habakkuk is confused about God's plan for Judah. But I want you to notice what he does. Number one, I want you to notice where he takes his problem. We should commend Habakkuk for this. You know where he goes to with his problem? He goes to God. When we don't understand something, let me just say this. The best person you can ask is God. There's a lot of times we don't understand things. And if you're like me, we find ourselves talking to everybody about, why do you think this happened? Why do you think this person said? Just all the things. And we never go to God. God's the one that has the answers. We spend a lot of time speculating on things when really we should just go to God and ask Him. Here's what Habakkuk found out. When he goes to God, go back to chapter 1. He's saying, Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Look at verse number 6. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. Habakkuk's saying, hey, God, you're not moving. I'm not seeing nothing. But here's what God told him. Hey, I am working. You're just not seeing what I'm doing, but I'm working. This situation you're burdened over, I'm working on it right now. Now, it wasn't what he wanted to hear, But God was working. And so he's struggling with an answer, but he goes to the right place. But here's what I want you to notice in chapter 2. His conduct or his actions when he's confused and he don't understand what God's doing, notice what he does. Number one, he purposed to stay true to God. He says, I will stand upon my watch. I will stand. He did not let his confusion cause his faith to waver. He didn't abandon his faith because he didn't understand what God was doing. How many times have you seen hardship and trial come to somebody's life and their home? And the first thing they do is quit coming to church. Have you seen somebody, trouble come to their life, and the first thing they do is turn to a life of sin? You know what they did? They allowed their servant, because they didn't understand what was taking place, they just abandoned their faith. There's a lot of people, that's how they respond to that. When they don't understand what's going on, they just abandon everything. You know what? Habakkuk's not. And we're going to see the results of it here in a minute. He just did what he's supposed to do. He just stayed true to God. And when we don't understand what God may be doing in our lives or why circumstances or situations are going, here's what you and I have to purpose to do. We're just going to continue to keep doing right. That is the only course of direction for a child of God. Any other course of direction you try to take, you're going to end up in heartache and defeat. Notice this. He is living in a society that has turned their back upon God. But notice what he's proclaiming. Look at verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Here's what he's still saying. The Lord is his God, the Lord is holy, and the Lord has all power. Regardless of what he don't understand, what's taking place in his life, he knew it didn't change who God was. He don't understand what's going on, but he does know this. My faith is not going to waver. I'm going to keep doing what I know to do. And that's what you and I have to do. When we find things in life, and if it's not happened, it will happen to every one of us. There are things that's going to come in our life that we don't understand what God's doing. But our response to that is you just purpose to stand, that you're going to just keep going. Notice what also he says. He says, I will stand upon my watch. That watch is a period of time that you're responsible for. Somebody would have their watch that they would go, they would be watching for the enemy to warn others. Here's what Habakkuk realized. He understood that regardless of what God's doing, he had a responsibility to set an example for others, to warn others, to responsibility to stand for the truth. Others were dependent upon his actions. What example does it send to somebody who's watching your life? Trouble comes in your life, hardship comes in your life, and the first thing you do is you just walk away. You know what it does? They're going to follow. Habakkuk, he purposed to stand. But then he positioned himself to hear from God. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. Not only did he keep doing right, he positioned himself. And that tower, you know what he is? He's separated from the wickedness around him. He has not used his circumstances as an excuse to sin. Instead, his circumstances have motivated him to try to get along with God. He has gotten away from everybody. That tower speaks of separation. That tower speaks of sacrifice. He has stuff he wants to do. He's not doing what his plans are, doesn't matter. He's taking time to get along with God. He wants to hear from God. Being in that tower, all the wickedness that he's been seeing with his eyes, that he's burned over, he's separated from it up there. You're never going to hear from God when you reek of the sin of the flesh. You're going to have to separate from the sin of the world. You're going to have to separate from if you want to hear from God. Habakkuk separated from that. But then notice also what he says. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He's going to watch and see what God's going to say to him. He's looking for answers. He's purposed, I'm going to keep doing what I know to be right. I'm going to try to get along with God. And he knows that God's going to speak to him. Notice it says, watch and see. He's determined he's going to hear from God. You would think it would say, I'm going to hear and listen. But he says, I'm going to watch and see. Here's the application I want you to see from that. Hearing from God is going to involve your eyes. Hearing from God is going to involve what you can watch and see. Now, we know that we're led of the Spirit, but you know what? You know how you try the spirits to see if they're of God or not? By the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's never going to lead you to do anything contrary to the Word of God. And so, that's what we do. We measure it. So here's Habakkuk. He don't understand what's taking place. He's troubled over it. He's confused as to what God's doing. But he's purposed, I'm just going to keep doing what's right. I'm going to try to get alone and spend some time with God. And I'm going to determine that I'm going to hear from him. And when he does that, notice what we see in verse 2 of chapter 2. And the Lord answered me. Here's a man, he's not abandoned his faith. He's separated from everything. He's seeking to hear from God. And what do we see God doing? He answers him. He hears from God. And what I want to look at just for a few minutes here, God gives him three statements that's going to help him. It's going to change his whole attitude toward things. He's going to give him three statements that if he can focus on these things, it's going to make everything all right. Even though we don't understand, even though we've troubled everything, everything's going to be all right. Verse number 4 is the first one. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Here's the phrase, but the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, you don't understand what's going on, and you can't see what I'm doing, but here's what you need to do. You need to trust me. You just need to trust me. We got to put our faith in the fact that God knows what he's doing. Many times we're faced with situations and circumstances we can't explain, but how many of us can look back at our life and say that God has ever done us wrong? He hasn't. I mean, he saved our souls, given us eternal life. Daily, he provides for our needs, watches over us and protects us. All the things that nobody in here can say that God has ever done them wrong. When we don't understand what's taking place, when we may not understand why somebody's sick or why this, and all the questions left, here's what we have to remember, that we can trust God, that he knows. We may not understand what's going on, but God does. God's ways are higher than our ways. And we have to remember that. He says, the just shall live by faith. But then look at verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, there's two things we can take from this verse. Number one, God will be glorified. Everything that God allows to happen in our lives, it's going to bring glory to him. Do we understand it all? No. But in some way, God gets glory from it. Just because we don't see it does not mean it's not happening. But then, when will the earth be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea? You know when that's going to happen? When he sets up his kingdom. Here's what he's telling Habakkuk. Hey, you can just trust me and know this. I'm going to be glorified through this. And what you're dealing with, whatever it may be, going into captivity, whatever we may be experiencing, remember this, it's just temporary. It's not going to last forever. What you're dealing with and what you understand, it's not eternal. When it's all said and done, I'm going to be getting glory from it. But then notice what else he tells him. Look at verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Here's what he's telling Habakkuk. I'm still on the throne. You don't understand, and you're worried about all these things, just remember this. I'm still on the throne. Our peace rests in the fact that God is on the throne. All the stuff, I said it earlier, all the stuff you see going on in the world, that does not trouble me. I'm not worried about it. You know why? Because the God I serve is on the throne. And when I don't understand things, here's what God has told Habakkuk. You don't understand, you're troubled, here's what you need to do. You need to trust me, you need to understand that I'm going to be glorified through this, and remember that I'm still in charge, I'm on the throne. And when Habakkuk gets his focus on those truths, I want you to notice chapter 3. It says, the prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. That is a stringed instrument. Look at verse 19. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. You know what he's doing? He's praising God. He says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 19, the Lord is my strength. Here's a man who's troubled. He doesn't understand what God's doing. But when God helps him get focused on three truths, now he's rejoicing. And let me say this. He's still fearful of what's taking place. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. Oh, Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Look at verse number 7. I saw the tents of Cushan affliction and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. There's another one. There's several in there where he talks about it. Verse 16, that's it. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at thy voice. He is still troubled over the things, but you know what? He's rejoicing in it. He's asking for revival in verse 2. He's asking for mercy. Now, does Habakkuk understand why God is going to allow the Chaldeans to come in and destroy Judah? He still don't. God don't have to explain anything to him. And God, he still doesn't know. But his whole attitude has changed because God gave him three truths that he needs to always remember. And that is, the just shall live by faith, that you can trust him, that he will be glorified through it. And he still has all power. He's still in control. And here's the lesson that we learn from Habakkuk. Here's a man whose faith was wavering, concerned about what God's doing because he's confused, he don't understand. But then we see God restoring his faith. He didn't restore it by explaining to him, now here's what's going to happen. He restored it by getting his eyes focused back on him. And church, this is my little simple thought this evening. That's how we're going to make it through these hard times, these troubles, these situations that come in life that we don't understand and we can't make sense of. Just remember this. He's trustworthy. You can trust him in everything. He's never going to do us wrong. And whether we understand it, whether we can realize it or not, in some way, when it's all said and done, he's going to be glorified through it. And he's still in control. He's always in control. Nothing happens to my life that does not go through his hands first. And we can find comfort in that. And if we can stay focused on those three truths, it doesn't matter if we understand. Because we'll be just like Habakkuk. The Lord is my strength. Notice what he says in verse 19 again. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. He's all down and out, but when he got focused on God, you know what he's saying? I'm going to walk on them high places again. Church, that's my little thought this evening. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what some of us may be going through. I know this life is full of heartache and trouble. But here's what we learn from the book of Habakkuk. If we can stay focused upon him, regardless of what happens, if we'll stay true to God, we can rejoice through it all. Let's have a verse of invitation tonight. I don't know where you're at. God spoke to your heart. Maybe you just need God to help you focus on these things. If you need to pray, you come and pray this evening.